join me as we pray? Father, we come to you at this time asking that the truths that are in the guidebook be made visibly clear to each one of us now. That we would realize that you have plans, you have goals for each one of us, and that they're clearly stated in the Word. We have enough sense to know that if we abide by them, things go well for us. If we fail in them, things can tend to become bad for us. So as we look into the Word today, we're asking that we all have clear visibility, that we do through this prayer right now the excavation that is necessary so that the foundation of the truth can be laid properly in our minds. And then as we leave this place in a few moments, we pray for the hands and the feet of our very being to implement what is stored in our mind from your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. As pastor, I stand before you like a shepherd that would examine his sheep, not judgmentally, but to examine his sheep to see if there are any cuts, bruises, or injuries that have been sustained during the last time we met. So as a pastor, I stand before you as a shepherd to inspect the sheep. I also stand before you as a building inspector to inspect your temple. I'm not referring to your clay temple. I'm referring to your house in which you live. And I have been driving around our city. I've made a list of some cities, homes that need to be repaired. I've driven by 316 Pearl Street, Apartment B, and I see that there needs to be some improvement there, home improvement. I found a 132 Vivian in need. I went to 515 North Vanderhurst and noticed Apartment 14 needed some help. I drove 235 Division Street, 406 South 3rd. I went to 229 Carlson, where I parked my car and examined the house there with an inspector. I went to 51130 Pine Canyon Road. I went to 515 Lynn Street. I went to 406 South 3rd. I drove by 412 South San Lorenzo. I came back around 213 Carlson, 111 Division, number 50. Went down to San Lucas on Rosa Street. Came back to 517 South 2nd Street, 202 Vivian Street. Went to 418 Patterson. Went by the Queens Court, number 31, on the Highway 101. Went up Pine Canyon, 46104 Meadowbrook Drive. Then I came back into 414 and a half North 3rd Street, and my last visit was 516 North Russ. And as I went by these houses, as a spiritual building inspector, I found that they were in need of some home repair. However, most of these homes look quite nice. I must hasten to say that a lot of the homes were beautiful. The flowers were growing, the porch was swept, the shrubbery was trimmed, and everything looked really nice in most of these houses. However, I heard this little voice in my mind that said, and it was the word of Jesus, and the word was, they are painted white, but within they are full of dead men's bones. So this message that you're about to hear, wherever you are, has to do with your repairing your home. A few months ago, I stood in a very large hardware store waiting to be checked out, a lumber company, and I noticed a whole rack of repair manuals. There was repairs on this and repairs how to do that, and an easy 1, 2, 3 to do this type of repair. And many of you men and women have used repair manuals. You follow the principles and you know how to repair certain aspects of your home. In this guidebook, the blueprint is there are some things that we can do to repair our homes. In home repairing, there are blueprints to follow. In the repairing of our home, not the house in which we live, the repair job is divided into several categories. In the repair kit, which God is offering you this morning through me, He's giving you some constant things that are necessary and that they are found in the repair manual, in the repair kit. And then he's going to show you some variable things that may come to you that are in your home repair kit. We're going to look at the must-haves, the can-haves, the may-haves, and the ought-to-haves in the home repair kit. Not just for a father or for a husband or for a mother or for a wife, but for the children as well. And the first is simply this. In this home repair kit that we've got the must-haves. And in the must-haves in this repair kit, I will open it up. I open up the kit for you right there. And I see in this kit, the first thing is government. Government. And in the section of government into repairing our home, we find four simple things. They're not really simple, they're very complex. The first is control in the home. Control in the home. I read to you from 1 Timothy 3:4, and it says, he must be able to manage his own family well and make his children obey him with all respect. 1 Timothy 3:4. In Job chapter 1, it says that Job sanctified his children. In Proverbs 23:13, it says, this is talking about the control in the home, without correction. Withhold not correction from the child. It says right here, if you beat him with the rod, he will not die. Proverbs 23:13. Control in the home. It's right here in the blueprint, and it must be the control. This is government control. Government for the husbands. Listen, husbands, to this word. Ephesians 5:25. Maybe in your home repair kit, this needs to be taken out and used. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5:25. It says in 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, you husbands, this is in the government of the home now, dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being an heir together of the graces of life, that your prayers be not unhindered. In some of the homes that we have listed here, according to the addresses, the must-haves must drop into gear here with husbands. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto your wives, lest your prayers be not hindered. And then for the wives, it says in Titus 2:4, you are to be gracious, not slanderers. You're to be sober, faithful in all things. 1 Corinthians 7:10 says, let not the wife depart from the husband. Ephesians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So in the government, in the repair kit, we've got control, we've got words to the husband, we've got words to the wife, and then kids, we've got words to you as well. Ephesians 6, it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you. This is the must-haves. I say must-haves because you cannot deviate from this. If you want to repair your home, if it's out of order in any way, in this way, these are the must-haves. It's the government. Control, words to the wife, the husband, and to the children. But beside government in the home repair kit, there's something else that's very, very important, and that is love. Love must be in the home. It's the kind of a love that you can't spell out, but you can feel. It's in your home. You know, the home is the one place in all the world where hearts can melt together, where hearts can come together. It's a place of confidence. People, it's the place where we can tear off the mask that the world has placed upon us. Look at the masks. Look at them. Do this for me. Will you scratch your neck like this? All right. And now hold tight and then peel off that whole mask. Ah, now here is the church that Christ died for. It's beautiful. And in the home, you can do that. But the world has forced me to wear this mask. I hate this mask at times, but I've got to wear it, supposedly, because the world says you have to. But at home, my wife knows I take it off. My children know I take it off. And so when I went to this one lady and I said, you have, and this actually happened, I said, you have a, I'm not identified as a sex, so I'll say child. You have such a lovely child. This, she did it. It's so nice. It's so nice. And she said, who are you talking? Me? My daughter? Yes. I'm talking about your daughter. And she said, that's your news to me. Because she had taken the mask off and she had worn the mask. But in public, an ideal. But the mother said, you must not be talking about my daughter. In the home, we do it, whether we want to or not. We are the meanest we can be to the people that we love the most, aren't we? If I went out in the world and said things that I say to my wife, I couldn't get by with it. But I can get by with it at home. And you can do the same with your spouse, because it's acceptable. But in the world, we put on the mask. So the second thing in this home repair kit is love. It's this love that tears off the mask, where we can express tenderness. And this expression of tenderness can gush out without any sensation of awkwardness and without any dread of ridicule. This brings us to the third, which is prayer. It's what we miss most. Prayer. This is, and I'm talking about the must-haves. You've got to have these things in your home. One man said, you know, the thing that I remember most about my childhood days is prayer. We prayed at the table 10 seconds or less before we ate. And I also remember when I would go to bed at night, sometimes I was tucked in bed and there was a prayer. Not just when I was a toddler, but as I grow older as well. Prayer is needed. And the fourth thing in the must-haves in the home repair kit is simply this. Duties that the parents must adhere to completely if the home is going to be the place where the happy flag is flying and where Christ is being honored. Now here's what they are. Parental duties. I want somebody to read who has Ephesians 6:4. Would you stand and read this? This talks about the nurturing that we as parents have got to do, take it out of the home repair kit. Listen, if you will, to Ephesians 6:4.
Parents, do not treat your children in such a way as to make them angry. Instead, raise them with Christian discipline and instruction.
Amen. What a beautiful verse of Scripture. Read it again, please, Greg. It's Ephesians 6:4. It talks about my responsibility as a parent in nurturing my children.
Parents, do not treat your children in such a way as to make them angry. Instead, raise them with Christian discipline and instruction.
Nurture. Parental duty. It's in the must-have. The second is training. We must train our children. Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from
him. All right. You train a child in the way he should go, and the guidebook says that when he gets old, he'll not depart from it. A lady came to my office recently, all upset and tearful about her child, who now was out of high school, going the way of the world. I asked her special questions, and one question gave the answer, yes. We train the child in the way he should go. Then we claim that promise, that if you train a child, the time will come when that child who has had that background will return to it. It's in the mind. Parental duty, nurture, train. And then a little different is teaching. Listen to Deuteronomy 6:7, would you? What does it say we're supposed to do? We're supposed to teach. Now, do we teach? Where do we teach? Just once in the home? What were the four things, Gary? We teach our children when we are
sitting
in the house,
walking
outdoors,
lying down,
and rising up. It covers the whole gamut. We are to teach our children not just once or twice, but continuously. And then the last thing we're supposed to do is provide. Parental duty is provide. Listen to 2 Corinthians 12:14. Read from the Word of God that the children are not supposed to lay up for the parents, but the parents are supposed to lay up for the children. We are to provide for them. 80% of the cases that are being referred to juvenile courts today are with people who come from homes where there is no training. Nurture, train, teach, and provide. Take old man Noah. 120 years he preached. 120 years he preached. In 3 years, I've been using this pulpit for 20 years. He was 120 years preaching. And I think of all the people that God has saved through our ministry together, and there are scores of people that have been saved, born into the kingdom. But he worked for 120 years, and how many converts did he have? 7 converts. And who were they? His own family members. This puts premium on the family. The place where the reality of a man's religion is tested in the home. So we looked at first the must-haves. As we move on, we look at the may-haves. Now the must-haves are constant. These must-haves are right here in the Word of God. You cannot deviate from them. You should not deviate from them. When we look at the may-haves in the home emergency repair kit, we're looking at things that just may come. I speak of cares. Now, this will test us in our home. And it's in the emergency home repair kit because God uses the cares that may come to us to repair our home. The cares include, I've listed, illness of children. You want to know how to repair your home? Well, if your kids get ill, this is a way. Parents being sick. Cares, including receiving guests, being hospitable, providing for the family. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if any provide not for his own home, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So the may-haves in our repair kit would be cares. Second would be troubles, cause of troubles, hatred, childlessness, unworthy husbands, hard to cope with, contentious wives, the scripture says like dripping faucets are they, and envy and what have you. These are troubles that come. Hatred. Hate comes into families. Childlessness. And then spouse difficulties. These are troubles. We don't have them all the time, but you just may have a trouble here, or you may have a trouble there. It's in the home emergency repair kit. The third thing is foes which invade the home. Adultery, fornication, divorce, lawlessness, selfishness, and unrestrained rules. These are foes which attack our homes. Our home is in danger. Listen to this. I read last week that statistics show that of all the persons in America that have been killed by falls, more than half of them fell in their homes. The home is a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place to live. It should be the safest place in the world, but it's not. And the reason the home is not safe is because at the home we are off our guard. The masks are off. We are off of our guard, and it becomes a very dangerous place to live. This is true of spiritual disasters as well. Our homes are the most frequent witness of bad temper by Christians, selfishness by Christians, cruelty by Christians, neglect by Christians, jealousy of Christians, poor faith, slander, falsehoods, on and on we could go. How many are the hazards of our homes? So the home is a very dangerous place to live. I can think of another place to live, but the home is a dangerous place to live because there we are off our guard. And another possibility is strife that comes in. And the cause of strife These are the variables that just may happen every now and then, would be pride, anger, a contentious spirit. Strive is forbidden in the blueprint book. It says hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. The family fiber must be warped together with Jesus. Because you see, God ordained the home, and I think it seems like that every time we turn recently, we're hearing about the home and the importance of the home. I think God is trying to reestablish our home according to His principles, so that our house is on the hilltop of one person said, cheerfulness and serenity. It's so high up that no shadow rests upon it, and where the morning comes so early and the evening tarries so late that the day has twice as many golden hours as those of other men. He is to be pitied whose house is the reverse of this, in some valley of grief between the hills, with the longest night and the shortest day. So we're talking about the variableness of things that happen, and we've mentioned cares, troubles, foes, and strife. Number three, we got the must-haves, you know, the may-haves. These are the variable things. Now the can-haves. I wish we could have a song, Nancy, that talked about the can-haves. Something like, my home is a museum of memories. Do any of you have an instant memory? Just lift your hand. Don't have to speak it. But do you have right now a memory of your home as a child? Just lift it up. You do? You have a memory? Okay. Our home should be a place where we are caretakers of memories. Memories museum. The museum of memories. It helps children survive stress. And our kids go to school today, and they come home after being drenched by this world. You need to pray over them. You need to plead the blood of Jesus over them and wash them up. It wouldn't be a bad idea to teach them to wash their hands when they come home. And also, you wash their hearts as well. Because the fiber of our homes are being deteriorated today by the forces of this world. And so if we can have some traditions in our home, it will help our children survive stress and disasters. In fact, traditions stabilize. Traditions individualize families. I don't think we had too many traditions in my family as I grew up, but in raising my children, Nancy and I have tried to have certain traditions. Traditions that the kids can hang their memory on, that will help give them stability against the fiery darts of this world. But to many people, the home is no more than a place to sleep, eat, and watch television. To many, the home is just a house where they pick up their mail instead of a home. This doesn't promote a museum of memories. And with children, with the little children, it starts with repetition. You who have small kids know that repetition, they learn their memory, they learn their nursery rhymes. It's all by repetition. And that repetition is good because that starts something to help in home security. Junior comes home from school and he opens the door, he slams it, he says, hi, I'm home. Mother says, okay. He slams the door and he runs away. He goes away to play. What he has done is established something very important. Mom can go on and now and prepare supper because the child has gone into the home. He has said, I'm home. The mother has acknowledged that. He's free to go play too. But it may not seem like a biggie, but it is because something has been established right there. God is wanting to establish some common sense principles in our home. He is trying to establish some rituals that are based upon the Word of God and other rituals that don't conflict the Word of God, but that are good for us. And if we parents are to be the providers of museums of memories, there's work to be done. There's a lot of work to be done. Can have these museum of memories. Try to ask the Lord to help you come up with some original things, traditions in your home that would help. Because when your kids get into the world, they're going to need the museum of memories to fall back upon. Now the last is this. We've spoken about the security system. Some of you have security systems in your home. You can't even enter your home without first programming a number so you can get in okay. We have elaborate security systems. The houses that we represent must have a very elaborate security system that encompasses Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And it is so clearly stated in the Word of God that we ought to have this security system in our home. Maybe your home needs to be repaired in this area where you need to apply the blood, anoint the house, remove demonic influences. In Exodus 12, we read about the applying of the blood on the door of the home. In Luke 10, we read about removing demonic influences. This is the home security. The human beings that live in my house and the human beings that need in your house need something that is structured so that they know they have a security, a predictable framework on which they can hang the brand new experiences that come to them every single day. A platform that they can dive into the seas of this world in a future shock. And it's been provided by Jesus Christ. He is this platform. He is the security system. And this home in which you live, wherever it is in that house, is still the turning point for the children and for we, the adults, as well. Well, I tell you, these houses that we've mentioned, and you heard the house numbers, and you know who lives in the house with that house number, may just need some special repairing in some of these areas. Let's get the repair job done. Let's call upon Jesus to help us as fathers and as husbands. Let's call upon Jesus to help as wives and as mothers. Let's call upon Jesus to help the children, so that we can live in a place where God has ordained it to be. God ordained the home. God is for the home. God wants the home repaired, put in order, so that it will not just be looking good on the outside, but you know, the sweet, sweet spirit on the inside. That's what Jesus meant when he said, painted white sepulchres, they're just so neat, but inside they're full of dead men's bones. Let's get the repair job done. And you know we can do it. We can help one another. And we can ask God to help us too. Repair the house in which we live. And make it the home where he is honored. And he lives as well. Talk to him as if he lives in your home. Set a place for him at the dinner table if you like. Let your kids know that you believe in the presence of Jesus. And talk to him as a friend. And then let all of these fibers of your home be so woven together in and through the Holy Ghost that when a person knocks at your door, when a person comes into your home, you don't have to say a word, but they know there's an atmosphere here. Jesus lives. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you for our homes. Thank you for each and every home that is represented here. Give us eyes to understand that there could well be areas in our home that need repairing. Help us to realize that you have set up some things that have to be in our home. There has to be government, control, there are words to the husband and the wife and children. There has to be love and prayer and parental duties. But then there may be things that come to us like cares and troubles and foes and strife. Give us wisdom, Lord, to live in a home where memories are being cherished and stored up. To help our children survive this change and the stress and the disasters that come to them when they're in the world. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the security system, the great security system that beats any sophisticated electronic system today. And that's the system that's in Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the security that you give the believer and the security that you give the homes that no foe can come against it. We thank you, Jesus, for the homes and for the husbands and the wives that are here and the fathers and the mothers and the children. May we each, Father, take, as never before, the great responsibility that is ours to fulfill the role in which you have placed us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please?